Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is, to them that believe, he is precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, and Luke 7, 48 through 50. These are the chapters that you can put your finger on. Start out there. Chapter 2, Corinthians. Chapter 1, Corinthians. And we're going to go through those four books, and then I'll give you the message. But as always, folks, we have a song for you this morning I want to play for you, and it's called God Will Make a Way. I hope you appreciate it. Give everybody a chance to get here. Find your place in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll go from there. Thank you for being here, and I'll be back in a minute. Praise God, he always makes a way for us, no matter how we live or what we do. God's always providing for us. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity today to share your gospel, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity and the means to do so, Lord. You always provide for us for what we need. This morning's message, like I said, is going to come out of 2 Peter. But before we even get started, or 1 Peter, rather, I'm sorry, chapter 2, before we get started, I have a list of prayers. I was kind of surprised how many that there actually were this morning. But I want to tell you this, folks. We need to pray for our friends, for our families, for those that we love, for even our enemies. For the Bible does say for us that we're to heap coals of kindness upon the heads of our enemies. We're supposed to be doing that. And that means for us to pray for them. That means for us to be nice to them and be compassionate with them, and even with the situations that go on in the world. There's that shooting in Pittsburgh. So let's pray. Start praying for these things, folks. Pray for people that we should pray for more of those around us that we love. Father, this morning we ask for prayer for those in the situation where the shooting happened in Pittsburgh. That was pretty bad. These people in the synagogue and haven't been shot up. Pray for Denise Dixon, their husband, an unspoken request there, going through some hardships. Pray for Michelle for salvation, for God's guidance, for housing decisions. Pray for Consetta, an unspoken request. Again, I know Consetta is going through some difficult times, hard times, and housing, and she needs some of the things to be cared for. So, Father, we just ask for that. Lori Martin Kish, for business decisions and opportunities there, Lord. Terry Williams, she's moving this week, going to be heading to Maine, coming from Connecticut, moving back to Maine on Thursday. She'll be traveling then. She'll be moving her stuff. So please pray for her for safety and for guidance, Lord. Lord, we just ask for my son, for the damages done in his house, that no one was hurt and everything went well over there. We just thank you for that and a praise for no one being hurt. We're also asking for prayers for Joseph Gray. Joseph Gray is a friend of mine on Facebook. He's going through some real hard times. He lost his wife this last week. And then he's just having to deal with it, folks. It's been very difficult. They've been together for many years, and Joseph's having a hard time with that. So, Lord, I just ask that you heal him and strengthen him. He's got his own health issues going on. We We've asked for prayer for that many a time, so please, Lord, we ask you to give them comfort in all of those things, Lord. For Lorette Therall, she's got a friend that's in a coma. And if the person doesn't come out of that coma today, it's been said by the doctors that they feel that it's time to unplug the person from the life systems that they're on. Because the person, if they can't breathe on their own, can't take care of them own, then certainly they're going to pass, Lord. And we just ask for guidance for the family and strength and knowledge to know exactly what to do and how to go about it, Lord. Father, we're just asking for all these things. We need prayer, folks. We need to pray for those around us, for those that love us, for those that we love, and for those that we care about. And these are just a short list. Pray for my son, Johnny, my son-in-law, Johnny, down in Connecticut, rather. He's very sick. They've got a virus going around the house. He had to go to work this morning. He's not feeling well. He had an upset stomach. He was throwing up, and the whole flu thing where he's shaking and just doesn't feel good. It's not good to the body. Pray for him. Lord, we just ask that you lift all these prayers up, that you please heal him and take care of him and watch over us this morning and this afternoon. We've got a lot to do here, and I'm going to be doing a lot of running around this afternoon, so I'm going to need your help and your strength, Lord. Lord, I just ask for you to give us a good day, and thank you for the message. And for all of those prayers, Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you watch over them all and protect them and give them the things that you want for them to have in their lives to be able to take care of them, especially those for their needs of housing, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this morning's message is it's a Sunday message that I put together. I started to get my notes confused. Hang on a second. To them that believe, he is precious. Because, you see, this whole thing about those that believe, we count Jesus as precious as gold. We count him as precious as our loved ones. There is nothing we want to do that would be disrespectful to the Lord. There's nothing we want to do that would cause disharmony with our walk with the Lord. That means even our speech. When we're using our tongue, we should be using it to glorify him, to bless him. We shouldn't be using it to curse him. We shouldn't curse his name. We shouldn't be using the Lord's name in vain. Many of us go around, including myself at times, I've used the Lord's name in vain. I know I have. I'm not saying I haven't. I'm not one. Everybody that knows me knows that I shoot from the hip and I say things. Sometimes it bothers people and I'm brash and sometimes it come across mean, but I try to tell the truth the best that I can to my best of my knowledge anyhow. And I got to tell you, folks, sometimes I say things that I should be careful how I use my tongue. It's disrespectful to the Lord. We should never use the Lord's name in vain. People use the word God and they add that extra word at the end, and we shouldn't be doing that. Or Jesus Christ, and we don't say it as in a glorious way or in a way of praise. That name should not come off our tongue in any other way than to glorify him or to praise him. And that's where part of this message comes from. It says here, look it. We're to them that believe, he is precious. And if you look at 1 Peter, it says that in verse 7, and I'm going to flip there so that we can, like I said, I want to read it to you. I don't put words together, folks, of my own. These are from the Bible, and I use the King James Bible to do so. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, it says this. It says, the stone which the builders disallowed, which means they did not want, the same is made the head of the corner. That means even though they didn't want him, he's still there. He's still the strength. He's still the rock. He's still the guiding post. Even though they didn't want him. That means even as Christians, even though you did not want him in your life, even though you sinned, even though you've done things and continue to do things, Christ is there for you. That's what that means. He's holding you up whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ, but he's there in your life every single day, all the time. Even though you may not accept him, acknowledge him, or believe it, he's there. He's waiting for you to turn to him. Here's my notes. The apostle speaking of Jesus Christ, this was the apostle Paul, or Peter, rather, I'm sorry. Paul goes on in Corinthians. But the apostle Peter was saying this, and the dear dying friend of poor lost sinners, Jesus, who pitied us when he had no pity on when we had no pity on ourselves. You think about that. When we don't even think we're good enough, God still says, yes, you are. Jesus was sent to die on the cross for you. You were that good. He wants you in his family. He loves you that much. Even though you're doing wrong, he still, though you committed your sins, he died on the cross for you. He didn't have to. Jesus died even though you were still in your sins. He could have said, God could have said, nope, I'm not going to do this. You're all going to pay for your sins. You're all going to be cast into hell. Look at my notes. Who pitied us when we had no pity on ourselves and died for us when otherwise we must have been cast into hell? You see, back when the Ten Commandments were first written, people would have not have obeyed the Ten Commandments and God would have wiped them out like he did so many times in them days. And then he sent Jesus down because he knew people would continue. And he did not want for all of the people to keep continuing the sin and then die. He didn't want us to die a horrible death in the fire. It says here, if you believe this, that your sins would have damned you, if Christ had not taken them on himself, that's your sins, and that you must have been cursed forever, that means you would have went to hell and burned forever in hell. If Christ had not been made a curse for you, if you feel in your hearts a humble assurance of pardon, purchased by his blood, don't get confused now with what I said. If Christ had not been made a curse for you, in other words, he's not a curse for you, he's a blessing for you. That's not, it doesn't mean, oh, he's a curse for me. No, it means if you don't think in your heart that he's a curse, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a blessing for you, if you feel in your hearts a humble assurance of pardon purchased by his blood, and if you can consider him as saying to you in the gospel what he said to the poor sinful woman. In other words, you have to read the gospels, the Bible, the book. Read it, and you'll find that it's saying in there that he considers you, just like with this woman, he said to the poor woman, he said, go in peace, thy sins are forgiven, in Luke 7:48-50. And if you read the story in chapter 7 of Luke, you'll find, it says this, let's go over there. It says this, because if I'm correct in my sayings, then he said, look, you can be risen again. If you look at Luke, and it says in verse 7, 48 through 50, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Some get that confused with the woman at the well, but that wasn't it. This was back when she went to him, Martha went to Christ and said, my son has died. My brother, rather, has died. And he said, because of your faith, your sins have been forgiven. Because she trusted him to raise her brother from the dead. And he does, and he'll raise you from the dead. You know, people say, what are you talking about? He'll raise me from the dead. Well, this is what he means. When you die the first death. That's the body. The body, the flesh dies. But your spirit, there's one place or the other that your spirit goes. And it has to do with your faith. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, your spirit goes to heaven. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, your spirit goes to hell. And that's not nothing to laugh at, folks. A lot of people joke about it, and you've heard me say it before. It's nothing to take lightly. Many people don't even believe there's a devil or that there is hell. They go around blaming God for everything, but they don't blame the devil for nothing. They go around thinking life is just grand, and I don't have to thank anybody for any of it. But yet they seem to forget that they have nothing if it wasn't for God. They wouldn't even have the air they breathe. As God said, he was the one that created it all. Now, well, look here. It says, then Christ is pushed. He said to the woman, go in peace. Thy sins are forgiven. If you can know that your sins are forgiven, all your sins, not just one, not the little ones, not the tiny ones, oh, only the big ones? No, all your sins, every sin you ever commit, ever committed in your past, ever commit today, ever commit in the future, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, the Bible says. And if you believe that, then Christ is precious to you. You love him above all things, above money, above possessions, above people, anyone or anything. You desire to do your good. You love to thank him and think of him always. You love to hear of him. You love to talk of him. Whatever he has commanded, you desire to do. And what he has forgotten or forbidden you, that's what it is, I'm sorry, and what he has forbidden you, which means he tells you not to do, don't use his name in vain, Don't go out and commit adultery. Don't go out and commit sins. Don't go out and be an alcoholic or drug addict. Don't go out and be mean to people. Don't turn your back on your family or your loved ones. He tells you not to do those things, yet you do those. Now you think about this. He says, don't do them. Whatever he has commanded you, desire to do. And what he has forbidden you, you will not willingly do. In other words, we know that sometimes we sin, but it's not always in a willful manner. There are those that don't love the Lord and they do things willingly. You wouldn't want to gain the whole world. You're not after possessions. You are now become a new creature. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you if you follow God's rules. You cannot live as you once lived. You're born again. See, you were born again because you were born of the flesh, and now you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit is to be obedient to Christ, to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him always. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm flipping my pages and moving there as fast as I can, because we only have so much time. 5:17 of 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, you can only be a new creature in Christ if you read your Bible or somebody shares the gospel with you and you learn about Christ. That's how you become a new creature. That's how your spirit changes. Because the natural man does not want to change. The natural man wants to live for himself and think there is no God. They want to believe that there's a tree God, there's an air God, there's an airhead. I mean, come on, folks. There's a real God. You look at life around you and you can see that God's in control of everything. I saw a picture the other day on Facebook of a mother gorilla taking care of her baby for the first time. The way she was holding that little baby, there's no way possible that that animal, that creature, could know how to do so without God's love and guidance. None whatsoever. And then to think that she was able to even have a baby. That's true God right there. God's in all, everything and all things. You cannot live as you once lived. You're born again. If we look here, it says, the things which you once hated, such as prayer, praise, hearing, and reading God's word, you now love. You no longer hate them. You no longer neglect them. You no longer go without them. And the things you once loved, such as vain, sinful conversation, and trifling amusements, and you know exactly what trifling amusements are, things that aren't good for you by going out to the bars, hanging out with the people that are no good for you, going to places that you should not be taking yourself. You're a new creature. Stay away from those things. You now hate those things. You cannot now go to bed at night without thanking your precious and adorable Jesus for the mercies of the day, or without committing yourself to his protection for the night and trusting your soul in his hands. Think about that, folks. When we go to bed at night, are you saying thank you for being so merciful to me? Are you saying thank you for getting me through another day and help me to deal with all the things that go on in my life, the stress, the anxiety, the depression, the workload? And you know what? God's with us always, and he carries us through. And if you can do that, and if you can commit yourself to his protection, to sleep through the night and wake the next day and trust your soul in his hands, that if you die before morning, no matter what, even if you were to die right now, he may receive you unto himself, and when you rise in the morning, you cannot go out into the world about your lawful business or about your regular life without begging him to keep you from the snares of the world and the temptations of Satan, because they're there. And you know those wrongs, folks. You see them, and you know what? Sometimes we're so blind, we're so caught up in the moment that we go for it. Kind of like the animal that sticks its head in the trap to get that luscious snack, and bam, it gets caught. We get caught in our sinful life. It's exactly the same. So think about that, folks. Think about the temptations that are in your life. Think before you make decisions. Your one object, your whole object of life should be this: to please your beloved Savior, and above all things, you're to fear him and not to offend him. your desire, that whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And that's in 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to go over there real quick. I'm going to flip to that. 1 Corinthians 10, and it's verse 31. It says this. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means we're supposed to be praising him and thanking him always in all things. Not just at our dinner table, not just when something goes bad and it turns out right, but thanking him for being able to be merciful for you to get you through the day. Like yesterday when I almost ran off the road, I need to be thankful that I didn't die, that I didn't wreck my wife's car, that I didn't hurt anybody else along the way. These are things that matter, folks. And if you don't see that, you're being blinded by the world thinking that it's not true. God's with us always. The love of Christ constraineth us. What does that mean? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, again, I'm moving as fast as I can get to the pages, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:14, here we are. It says this, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then we're all dead. You have to think that if Jesus died for one, he died for all of us. And all of us are dead in our bodies, in our natural state, and doomed for hell. But when we start to study the word and learn about Jesus, then we start to realize that we can be a better person by living for the Lord instead of for ourselves. The love of Christ constrains us because we would not want to disrespect him by doing evil or committing sins against him. You know what you do with your life. You know because you're the one living in it. I can't know what you do. No man can know exactly what your intentions are. You can know them, and you can know whether you're living right. And if you're not, then look, ask for help through the scriptures by reading your Bible. God will guide you if you just have faith in him and trust him. He'll put the scriptures in your hand, and you know what? Before you know it, instead of drinking milk like a baby, you'll be eating the foods that will strengthen you up, like the Bible says, milk for the baby, meat for the adult. Because babies, as we all know, cannot chew a piece of steak, but they can certainly suck the milk. That's how we're fed with the scriptures, little by little, the softer things that God will share us through those scriptures. And then as we do that, we get strengthened up. I wrote down this also. In Corinthians, Paul writes, in 1 Corinthians 5:1-4, now I make known to you, this was Paul's writing, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also ye received, in which ye also stand. That means you don't sway from it. By which also you are saved. You're saved because we are taught by God through the writing of the Bible. Just because a man wrote it doesn't mean it wasn't inspired by God. And there's proof of that, because if the Bible isn't true, then why, when they find the dead scroll that those Dead Sea Scrolls that are like 3,500 years old so far to date, they match exactly what's written in the Bible. Why is it that this stuff goes back that far? This isn't some fictitious book. This is a book that was written. Men wrote it so that we could learn it. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Is this book just garbage to you? Is this just a storyline? Or is this something to live by? For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received. In other words, he also believes it. He also got it from Christ. And he wants you to have it, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's what it says. Now, if Paul wrote that back then, he must have had scriptures to go by. And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Back when this was written by Paul, this was like thousands and thousands of years ago. Then he says in Romans, which is written by Paul again, in chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us, not one. It doesn't say, oh, just the Gentiles or just the Jews or, just this group or that group. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 11, chapter 11 says this. Speaking to Martha, Jesus said this. He said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you can believe with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be sure you will go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that you must believe in Jesus Christ. Those that don't believe in Jesus Christ will not get to heaven. I don't care when you die, how you die, or how much pity you have for that person. If they're a non-believer, they don't get to go to heaven. It's important that you know Jesus Christ. It's important that you live for Jesus Christ. It's important that you start studying your Bible and learn the ways that God wants for you, because it brings you peace. It'll bring you comfort. It'll bring you joy. You can't have that if you're not following scriptures. You'll never have it. If you think your life's in turmoil now, wait till the day that you're going to have to answer for your sins. Wait till the day of judgment when you're standing there before Christ and he says, I don't know you. You didn't even bother to try to find out who I was. You're too busy thinking, well, I don't know who God is. I don't know what God is. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ at all, he doesn't want to know you. He doesn't know you. You have to count him precious, as I said, as in 2 Peter says, or 1 Peter chapter 2, rather, where it says, to him that believe, he's precious, verse 7. Jesus better be precious in your life. I appreciate you coming out, folks. I'm glad I was able to share the gospel with you. Thank you for letting me share the word. I hope I've made some sense with it. I hope you'll take it to heart. I hope you'll share the gospel with others. Share the message with others. It'd be to your advantage, folks. I'm telling you. It doesn't hurt to speak of Jesus at all. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I have one more song for you, and then I'm going to close. I have things to do today. I'm going down to preach this afternoon over at the Bridge and Residential again to the elderly. And, of course, obviously, they need the love of Jesus. We all do. It's important that we do that. So I take my time to do that this afternoon. But watch over me, Lord, and give me the strength. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this chance to share the gospel. Thank you for those coming out and listening. And I hope and pray that everyone today will have a good day, will not have any more tragedies like in Pittsburgh. Those that need your help and your healing and your love, Lord, that you'll touch them, you'll guide them, you'll strengthen them. Give them the direction. Let them know what they have to do, the way they're supposed to get their life back on track, Lord, to serve you and love you. Watch over us. Give us a good day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My last song for you is this, I Need Thee Every Hour. Yeah. That's a great deal. Get the conversation, of course. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook if you have any questions this morning. If I can help you with your salvation guidance, I will. Thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. Have a great day. I hope everything goes well for you. If you draw nearer to Christ, Christ will draw nearer to you. God bless you, and have a good day. Thank you for being out here today.